During his five-decade career, guitarist Bill Frisell has honed an unmistakable sound, creating music that contains elements of jazz, world music, country, folk, rock, and blues. And his list of studio credits is as varied as his musical output. He's performed with Pat Metheny, Loudon Wainwright, Ricky Lee Jones, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Suzanne Vega, Paul Bley, Elvis Costello. Bill Frisell will be at Jazz at Lincoln Center this Friday with a show he's calling Guitar in the Space Age. That's also the name of his upcoming album to be released in October, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What does Guitar in the Space Age refer to?
Well, it's really this album. It's been on my mind for quite a while to do something relating to the time that I grew up. You know, I was born in 1951, and that was actually the same year that the Fender Telecaster guitar was born and rock and roll music was starting. And I just wanted to pay tribute to all this music that was around during my childhood, and some of the music that I played at the very beginning, as I was just starting to play, I sort of sped through some of this stuff. And now, at this point in my life, it feels like time to... It's really a learning thing for me to go back and, you know, spend more time with that.
Well, what were you hearing mostly? Were you hearing people like Bo Diddley, or were you also hearing the jazz guitarists like Charlie Christian?
Well, Charlie Christian, I came to that later, really.
Yeah, because he was already dead by the time
born. Later, you know, that's... In a way, yeah, I mean, Charlie Christian could be thought of as the father of everything that's on this record. I mean, it's hard to, you can't get away from that. It's, everything changed after him.
So. Well, wasn't clarinet your first instrument?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, I think my heart wasn't totally in it. It was when I was in fourth grade that the music program at the school I started. That's what got me going in music, and I played clarinet all the way into college. But the guitar was something off to the side that I did that on my own. It was like where my heart was.
Well, do you think that playing clarinet had an influence on how you've approached the guitar?
Definitely, yeah.
The kinds of lines you may have,
yeah, and just
played.
the feeling of the breath and the way it works with your body, it had a huge impact. And then later on, as I got further into the guitar, I really wasn't listening so much to guitar players. I was listening to saxophone players and trumpet players, and having that memory in my body of what that the wind it. I still, now when I'm playing, I'm breathing with what I'm playing.
Well, many people, or critics, have compared you to Miles Davis, which I think is interesting. Well, the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote that, like Miles Davis and a few others, your signature is built on pure sound and inflection, an anti-technique that's instantly identifiable. I'm not sure what an anti-technique means. You've got chops. But then I've read six or seven reviews that said that you were kind of like Miles Davis. I guess they were saying that you had the way you approach music is not the same as Clifford Brown or
Miles for sure. It was just at the top, very top of people that were inspiring me, but in thinking about his. He had such a huge, wide view of just music in general, and that's been an example for me. You know, I'll play some of the songs that he played, but it's more about the attitude of using what your own experience is and what's around you. I'm trying to be honest with that.
Well, you've said that seeing Wes Montgomery in high school was had a big impact on you, probably every other kid who was interested in playing jazz guitar.
Yeah, that was absolutely huge. I mean, and I actually never got to see him. I heard a record, and I it was actually for the all school show. It was a talent show at our high school, and my band director, where I was playing clarinet, he said, "Well, I know you play guitar. Do you think you could learn this?" It was the song "Bumpin' on Sunset," and he gave me this record, and I was like, "Oh my, what is this music?" And that was one of those just life changing. Hearing that, and then he was to come to play. This is in Denver. Just a few months later, he was coming to play, and I got my ticket. I had the ticket, and he passed away just weeks before the concert. But I went to the concert anyway, and I heard Monk and Cannonball Adderley and Gary Burton, and it was like, again, all this stuff was.
So you would have followed the usual trajectory and become a jazz guitarist, and you did for a while. Played with Paul Motion, one of the greatest drummers, but he was an eccentric drummer. Is that what set you on a more eccentric path?
Well, Paul for sure is just, again, I played with him for 30 years, and he's like my musical father or uncle or something. I can't tell you how important he was for me. And it was around that time, back then, thinking when I write soon after I heard Wes Montgomery, I also went to hear Charles Lloyd, and this is in right at the beginning of 1969, and
tenor saxophone player played kind of in a Coltrane style.
Yeah, and Paul was actually playing drums with him at the time, and I never would have dreamed that how within 12 years of that, you know, to be doing what I'm doing now, I can't even believe it.
My guest is Bill Frisell, who will be at Lincoln Center this Friday with his a show called Guitar. Are you calling it a show? What could we call it?
Concert or a music. Concert.
Okay, Guitar in the Space Age.
And it's actually Saturday also. We're playing Friday and Saturday.
I was thinking about, we've been talking about jazz and rock and roll, but you are all over the place in your career. In your 2003 album, The Intercontinentals, you featured a Greek bouzouki player, a Malian percussionist, a Brazilian guitarist, among others. And maybe we could listen to a little bit from that record, a track called Yala. Have you always been interested in world music?
I guess it's a gradual, you know, as soon as I got into thinking all the way back, I just love music, and it's that thing where you listen to one thing and then it'll lead you to another, and it just goes on and on and on. And so you hear, I don't know, I can't think when that would have, my father, when I was fairly young, he took me to hear Ravi Shankar, and you know, that leads to this and that. And
well, all of that is improvised music, but you also have performed with a fair number of rock musicians. I mean, how much improvisation can you do with Elvis Costello or Ricky Lee Jones?
Oh no, it's, for me, it's the same there. I mean, I've been really lucky that these people recognize me for what it is I do, and when they call me, I'm not just playing a set part. They want my personality in there. And in a way, it's not really that different from if I'm playing with Jim Hall, or you know, I'm just listening, I have to say I'm lucky in that way that I'm being called because they want my personality. They're asking for me to do what I do. So I'm just reacting to what I'm hearing around me.
You're also known for using a variety of loops, pedals, other electronic elements to create sounds that aren't typical. Have you always been interested in devices like that?
Yeah, I guess it's in that. I mean, you can get so much out of the guitar, and as I got more and more pulled into listening to all kinds of music, I was always looking for some way to, you know, I'm hearing the sound of a piano or the sound of a whole orchestra. So I'm trying to get the guitar to. It's usually some attempt at imitating some not quite attainable sound that I'm hearing in my head. Those all the whatever gadgets I'm using, it's like I could use a delay pedal on the guitar, and it's really functioning the same way that a sustain pedal would work on the piano or something, you know.
Has the computer changed your approach to music?
That's where I'm way behind the curve. The computer, I do email, but I really don't use it for music, and I still, when I write music, I'm still using a pencil and paper and the old-fashioned, I guess, have to say old-fashioned way, but I just can't take that. I don't think I know I should try to get it together, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it.
It's okay. You're doing all right. So you do all these different things, but if you came to New York, as a lot of aspiring musicians did, and you established your career here, and then you moved to Seattle. Why did you move away from the recording scene, pretty much the center of jazz in America?
Yeah, I mean, it at that point, and it just seems like all along, it's this traveling thing. I'm just traveling, and it didn't seem to matter where I was. I was going to have to get on an airplane and do. Even when I was living in New York, it was seemed like 90% of the time I was going over to Europe to play or whatever. And
well, it's a longer trip to Europe from Seattle. And you were going to Seattle when the grunge movement was really starting in 1988.
Yeah, I wasn't really in on too much of that either. But I felt like I just wanted to be in a little bit slower place or where I could. Being in New York, I lived here for 10 years, and it was like this constant input, which was incredible. It's like just every day it was like more and more and more coming in. And I just got to this point where I felt like I wanted to, wait a minute, let me just sort this out for a second. And, but you know, I end up being here. I'm probably in New York more than, since I moved to Seattle, I was saying I've probably been in New York more than I've been in Seattle. I still feel like this is home somehow.
Have you ever counted how many records you're on?
No, it's starting to mount up, though.
But you were with Nonesuch Electra for a very long time. Yeah. But the record business has changed so much. How has that affected you as a performing musician?
Well, it's still... I'm lucky again. I'm still somehow... I keep thinking it's coming to a close or something. But then something like this... last thing, this guitar in the space age thing is they okay records came along just in the nick of time, you know, just when we were ready to record. And somehow I've been blessed or so lucky with having all these opportunities to record. But I don't know how it's, you know, it's weird what's going on.
But you're going to be at Lincoln Center this Friday and Saturday. What uh-huh. kind of group?
It's Greg Leese plays pedal steel guitar and slide guitar, and Tony Shears on bass and Kenny Wallison on drums. And so we're playing this music. Really, it's so much music from my childhood, surf music. And
well, so, Rebel Rouser is one of those songs.
Yeah.
And a lot of jazz musicians, well, a lot of musicians grew up with rock and roll, and in fact, classical musicians tell me that somewhere in the back of their head, there's still that rock and roll element that was their first love.
Yeah, for me, it just becomes part of the, it's just so much the part of a fabric of our lives.
Well, we're going to go out with a track called Baja. And my great thanks to Bill Frisell. The album will be out in October.
Yeah.
Guitar in the Space Age on OK Records. And you can see him this weekend at Lincoln Center. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much.